Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. You know, one of the solutions that everyone talks about to deal with traffic congestion, to deal with air pollution, climate change, and community development is public transportation, the People Mover bus system here in Anchorage. But how long has it been since you were on one of those buses? Or do you watch them go by and wonder, gee, who's riding on that thing? It's a big issue that we want to have a good system, and we need folks to use it. And so the system is constantly in transition and constantly looking at how to make it better and constantly under stress for the amount of money that it has. And one idea that's come up lately is maybe the transit center is in the wrong place. Maybe it needs to be in Midtown instead of downtown, and maybe it needs to be a different kind of center that would help generate more ridership and make the system more effective. That's our topic today on Hometown Alaska, and I have two guests in the studio to talk about it and hope to hear from you with your calls, questions, and comments on this important issue. In the studio with me is Lance Wilbur, who is the director of the Public Transportation Department for the municipality, which is the People Mover.
Yeah, thank you, Charles.
And some other components to the department as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And Tyler Robinson, who is a member of the Anchorage Planning and Zoning Commission and has been involved in these issues as a planner and also is in the housing business with the Cook Inlet Housing Authority. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Lance, the impetus for me to do the show today was a column that you wrote in the Anchorage Daily News where you were bringing up this idea of a move of the transit center. It's been downtown forever at the base of that parking garage on 6th. And so we were talking about, you know, maybe that's not the right place for it. Maybe it should be in Midtown. And since we announced the topic, I've been receiving emails, and there's a lot of interest. People want to talk about it. The phone number here in the studio is 550-8433. That's if you're in the Anchorage area. If you're calling from outside, it's 888-353-5752. And we also take emails at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So, Lance, as the director of the Public Transportation Department, what sort of made you sort of push forward that idea and decide to write a column for the public about it?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple reasons. One is looking ahead. I mean, as the director, I've been there a couple years, and I look at the service that we provide and the service that we're going to need to provide, looking in the long run, and looking at the development patterns that Anchorage has experienced probably over the last 40 years since we located our hub downtown. And really, the hub of the community, the center of the community in the development, both retail and residential, it's expanded to the east, expanded to the south, and the hub of our operations is completely on the north end. So the thought was, you know, I think it's time for us to really start looking at a new location in the Midtown area where a lot of our current routes run through, and then do it in a manner and with a quality that's both attractive, both for our riders and for the current development. So really, that's the impetus of putting that article in the paper, and hopefully folks will, you know, think about the idea and, you know, offer their thoughts to us.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like you're thinking about more than just a bus station. What do you envision for this project?
Yeah, I am looking at more than a bus station. You know, we look at quality transit organizations that are growing and expanding around the country, and a lot of them have a type of development that transit complements, both in housing and in retail and professional office, and it's not just a glorified bus stop. So really, that's the type of development I'm looking at, where you can blend that quality residential, that quality business, professional business with a transit service and provide people a choice for getting around town.
So this would be some kind of a large building where there'd be maybe apartments and offices upstairs and then shopping downstairs, and then there's a place where people can wait for buses and get on buses, and it's all blended together in one.
Yeah, I mean, I think initially having the housing component would be great, but, you know, you really look at the reality of the funding and the timing, and I think having that that quality space with a retail type of a assessment with it or complement to it, that's really kind of the first step. I mean, I'm looking out at the amount of service that we could provide in the next 20 years and the amount of additional service we want to provide, and looking at how we do that in Midtown. Because really, downtown, we run the hub of our operations, really a pulse in downtown, and we're kind of running out of space. I mean, we basically have to queue our buses all around the block, and you have to go all the way downtown if you want to go anywhere else. And Service downtown is going to continue, Charles. I mean, we have a lot of demand, a lot of customers going there. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to abandon downtown. I kind of look at it like sort of a transition towards Midtown for the future of our operations.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Robinson, a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission and also a housing expert. In the past, there's been a sort of impetus to like keep everything downtown. We want the downtown to remain vibrant. We want that to be sort of the center of activity. How do you view is that sort of a thing of the past, and now the center of gravity has moved to Midtown, so just recognize that that's reality, or should we continue to try to keep things downtown, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's a number one. I think it's a great topic to discuss as a community. I mean, we have planning documents that both sort of identify downtown as a place where we might locate government offices and those types of services. At the same time, we have a comprehensive plan that identifies different employment centers, and certainly Midtown is one of those. And Midtown has certainly outpaced downtown in terms of growth. I think it outnumbers both downtown and UMed as the largest employment area. And so I do think we have to have a conversation not just about what is the central business district? Is it downtown and Midtown? Are we as a community supporting two central business districts? What are the implications to development, but also to transit? How do you serve a community with that many different, locations?
Mm-hmm. So I have the perception that if you are going to work in Midtown, you're probably driving, because it's not that easy to walk around that part of town, or at least there are sidewalks, but the sidewalk snow removal is not as good as it is downtown, and the sort of the building density is less. So even though there are large buildings in Midtown, they tend to be pretty far apart. Is there a plan that addresses dealing with those issues, and is there a need for making pedestrian access easier in that part of town?
Well, I think there is. I mean, I think if you talk to people that have lived here a long time and been involved in development a long time, they'll often say, well, one of the things they like about Midtown is the idea that you can get around by car pretty easily. It's convenient. You can run a number of errands during the workday. That said, as we, and there's free parking, that said, as we continue to develop Midtown, the development patterns will change. I mean, I've just noticed the past few years, traffic gets more intensive. And every trip is just about dependent on getting in your car, whether it's to the bank or a restaurant for lunch. And that's very different than the experience in downtown.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me that we do have a bit of a traffic crunch in Midtown, at least around 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't really have bad traffic in Anchorage compared to most cities, but there is sort of a frustration factor there when you're going Northern Lights or Minnesota or anywhere essentially from Lake Otis to Minnesota in the Midtown area. Lance, is that something that is realistic to expect the bus system to address, or are we too far low in ridership to really think that we can deal with congestion using the buses?
I don't think our ridership is low, but transit's just one element of congestion. I think Tyler mentioned a couple things about that, what would influence the pattern of development, the location of development. But as you mentioned, and as Tyler referenced, our planning documents, when you look at our transportation plan that looks at transit and highways and trails and air quality and congestion, one of the things that we recognize is that the development pattern and the folks where people want to come and go, the three key places are downtown, Midtown, and UMed. I mean, really, and so our transit, long-term transit plans recognize that that corridor, somewhere down that A Street 36th Tudor area, we need to up our ability to provide more frequent transit service in that corridor to a point beyond where it's actually, the headways are almost 10 minutes apart. We're a long ways away from there, but if you wait to a point where it gets to that amount of need and you haven't thought, enough beforehand to find a location that can work, you're already late and it starts to get more expensive.
So is the movement of the transit center a key to reducing the headways in that part of town? Headways mean like how long it takes before the next bus comes.
Yes, I do. I do think it is. But it's also going to not only potentially affect the headways, it will affect the amount of transfers or the locations of the transfers. I mean, the transit savvy person might make that transfer in the middle of the street. They won't go downtown to go from one bus to another. They'll get off in the middle of Midtown and wait for the bus to come the other direction at a bus stop. Maybe they have to walk across the street. And that's okay. But when I look down the road and I look at the transit system this town deserves, the transit system that we need based on the development, based on the change in demographics, the locations we're at are not going to serve us well in the long run. And so even if we put more service on, if we can't make those transfers more efficient and make the location more timely, because that's what's really important to people. How do I get from point A to point B in less amount of time and make it efficient and dependable and a service that they enjoy using, not one that they're forced to use? And that's the kind of service I think we're looking for. We're going to, as I mentioned in the article, you know, I'm really looking to raise the bar at public transportation, not a service that you have to, it's your last resort. I want it to be a choice. Maybe it's a choice one day a week, but you know, picking up the quality and doing it in a place in Midtown, in a quality development surrounded by that, I think people will appreciate it, people will care for it, and people will support it.
All right. It's Hometown Alaska. My name is Charles Wolforth. Lance Wilbur was just speaking. He's the director of the Public Transportation Department for the municipality, the People Mover System. And Tyler Robinson is with me. He's a member of the Anchorage Planning and Zoning Commission. And we welcome your calls and comments, questions. We're talking about moving the transit center from downtown to the Midtown area of town. And also welcome questions and comments about the public transportation and the planning of Anchorage in general. Open discussion here on Hometown Alaska. The phone number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. From outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752, and the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org, looking for comments on all sides of the issue. And an email here has come in from Mary, who says, moving the transit center from downtown to Midtown is one of the major components needed to solve Anchorage's housing shortage. There is a real housing shortage in town. Have you ever checked how much an apartment costs in this place? A user-friendly mass transit with centrally located hub means the limited buildable land in Anchorage can hold more housing and less parking. We definitely need to resurrect the Midtown District Plan. Most of the components are in place: library, park, grocery stores, office buildings, coffee shops, etc. What we do not have is the infrastructure needed to make this area more pedestrian-friendly. A Midtown Transit Center would be a big help in increasing pedestrian access to the area. One of you gentlemen needs to educate us about the Midtown District Plan and the status of that plan. Tyler, can you take that one?
Well, sure. I worked in the planning department when that plan started through the public process. It never really emerged from that public process to go through a formal adoption process. And so, in effect, we have, you know, a lot of work, a lot of meetings in the past, but no real document to point to. And I think the, you know, the emailer is exactly right. I mean, we have a need to put some definition to what Midtown is. Is there an area that effectively, you know, serves as a primary office center of Midtown? Is there a more public facility center? Obviously, you see what's emerging around Lusac with a new park and grocery store. And I think, you know, housing is certainly needs to be a part of Midtown for Midtown to be successful. There are areas of housing that I think are ripe for redevelopment, but there are also areas of housing that have been converted to commercial uses. And I think there's a lot of questions in Midtown that need to be answered.
So what happened to the Midtown District Plan? Why was it not adopted? Can either of you answer that?
Well, I think it's one of those things that, you know, public process is always difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think you have a number of stakeholders in Midtown. And it was such that it just didn't get pushed through. Can you sort of resurrect it, or do you have to restart it? I think, you know, I think at this point you may take some of the good ideas and restart.
Mm-hmm. Now I'd like to go to a caller from Anchorage. Todd, you had a comment or a question?
Yeah, hi. My name's Todd. I'm actually the president of the adjacent community council Tudor area. And, you know, when this transit center first came up is when I was approached by Greg Cervana from Widener Properties about building this big, new, huge apartment building in Midtown. And so that ties in a little bit, too. You know, I haven't lived in Midtown for 50 years now, and basically over by the fire station on Tudor Road. I just cannot imagine or fathom how, you know, you're going to make traffic flow. I mean, I'm down at Home Depot and Lowe's constantly. I do a lot of, you know, contracting work. And so It's tough now. I mean, it's doable, but you know, adding a transit center and or a 250 to 300 unit apartment building in that area just is beyond my scope of trying to imagine how you would get, you know, buses in and out of there, how you would get, you know, people that would live in that size of a building in and out of East 42nd Avenue. And so I'll take my answer off the air. But, yeah, I just have a lot of concerns about, you know, both the transit center. Although the transit center, I mean, that is a central place. I think that in, you know, it seems like a good idea. But I just can't figure out how you would get traffic flow in and out of there. It's already busy with the traffic, you know, into Lowe's and Home Depot and the library and in the post office. So I'm just not imagining how you could keep traffic flowing through there. So.
Okay, good point, Todd. And we need to orient the listeners a little bit that there is a site under discussion, which was at one time discussed for a site for National Archives. It's next to Cuddy Midtown Park, next to the library and sort of behind Lowe's and Home Depot. So empty piece of land, it belongs to the municipality. Lance Wilbur from the Public Transportation, is that the site you're looking at? Is that the main site? And how would we handle this as circulation problems?
Well, it's definitely a site that we're interested in. You know, there's a lot of questions to be had. There's, as far as the archive site itself, there are restrictions on it. I don't know all what they are. I know the administration's looking at making it available so we could use it because currently it isn't. But I know that the administration is doing that. But, you know, Todd brings up a lot of good points and a lot of questions I think about no matter what site we're at. The traffic issues, both for automobile and for pedestrian, as Tyler mentioned, access in and out is key. It really is key. And you look at 36th Avenue, and 36th Avenue can really be a nightmare on the west side of the Seward Highway. But you also have to recognize there's a lot of other roadway improvements that are also in the works that are also going to help those traffic congestion issues. So I look at all of those pieces, and I look at the timing of those pieces, because if we have to, you know, improvements to the Seward Highway that happened last year, those things are going to start moving down towards 36. There's plans to grade separate. So I am aware of them, and I, you know, before we get too far down the road on the project itself, we're going to address the questions that Todd mentioned. And, you know, he's right, that 250-unit housing, apartment housing that's going in off the old Seward Highway there, you know, that's basically a half a mile away.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of undeveloped parcels in Midtown, and it's interesting, our city, history of our city is so short. You have suburban housing, and then you have an open parcel, and then enough time passes that open parcel becomes a high-rise office building. So what's going in now seems to be very high density, and so that generates a lot of traffic. Tyler?
It does, and I mean, I think, again, I appreciate Todd's comments, but, you know, we have planning documents, and I think we have general agreement as a community that we're going to continue to grow despite the fact that we have the inlet on one side, mountains on another. And the real question is, how are we going to grow? And how are we going to accommodate both the residential uses and commercial uses? And I think it's not so much of whether you grow, but how you do it that really is, you know, going to hold our answers.
Mm-hmm. Now I'd like to go to Sheila. I think this is Dr. Sheila Selkrig, the former planning director and former assembly member, who is calling from Anchorage. Thanks for being with us, Sheila.
Hi, it's nice to talk to you. I've got respect for both the gentlemen you have with you today.
Yes. Did you want to add a perspective
to
this?
Well, I guess I'm curious, and maybe I'm just not caught up on the latest changes in direction. But I know the downtown plan included in it the process of siting a location for the transit center. And that plan was approved, and I believe that the transit center was between 3rd and 4th and A and E. And it was a pretty wonderful concept. It was like a European market on 4th Avenue. It was really looking at things you see in other cities where you have this wonderful, vibrant urban space with shops and markets and cascading down the hill. Is the transit center, and the buses were going to stack off 3rd Avenue. And, I mean, there was a lot that went into that, and I really appreciated Tyler's comment in that it's not, are we going to grow, it's how we are going to grow. And that description of a transit center made it into a really kind of exciting place where we would have a market and shops, and it would become an attraction. And that site allowed for a shuttle, a downtown free shuttle, you know, that circled downtown up 4th and down 5th, because they talked about one-way and 3rd and 6th. So, and also a shuttle out to Diamond and to Midtown, and also the opportunity of connecting to Takotna and downtown and Eagle River and downtown. So I guess I'm a little worried that sometimes the opportunity to build something in a certain place is not always necessarily the best place to build it. And I would worry about the proposed site a little bit because the Midtown Park is pretty isolated, and I could see the possibility of it becoming a real nice place to hang out during the day, and the new transit center becoming a place where people would go in and warm up.
Yeah. Well, let's take the two issues there. Let's take the downtown plan first. Lance, have you looked at the downtown plan? You feel it's not the right way to go, or have you evaluated that?
Well, Sheila, it's good to hear from you again. You know, I think that idea that's in the downtown comp plan, it could still happen. I mean, the thing about Midtown is it's the hub of our operations. It's where we bring all the service from South Anchorage and West Anchorage and South and East Anchorage to a location where you actually would do a transfer and then continue on your trip, or you're coming from the airport. So the downtown comp plan always also recommended that the success of a transit center on 3rd Avenue was also dependent on, as Sheila mentioned, 3rd Avenue becoming a one-way couplet going westbound, and 5th or 6th being a one-way couplet, I think it's 6th Avenue, eastbound, and 4th and 5th actually changing. That's a lot of road improvements for that to occur. So I still think if the downtown transit center, wherever we're going to provide that service, is not going to continue on 6th, there might be, and I think there probably will be, merit for being maybe on 3rd. I think as the railroad continues to grow their work, you know, we might have some connections there. So again, as I mentioned earlier, we're not going to be leaving downtown. I'm really looking at the operations of our bus service and the way we operate that through kind of a hub and pulse service, and that it should be located in the Midtown area, not at the northern edge.
And can you address Dr. Selkirk's second point about how do we prevent the center from becoming, you know, a shelter, or, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, I think people don't want to use the bus if they perceive it as being sort of a homeless facility, and that people are there in the transit center who just there because there's nowhere else to go.
And I guess my response to that is, you know, the facility that I envision, it's not a warm-up shelter. It's a transit center. I would envision the library is not a warm-up center. It's a library. A mall, a privately owned development. I mean, people go to malls. Do they go to warm up? They just go, you know, to shop. Maybe they're just looking around. I guess, you know, it's the image, it's the quality, it's the vision of a facility that I'm trying to promote, not something less than that.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Selkirk, for being with us. Now I'd like to go to Tom, who's calling from Anchorage. Tom?
Hello. Yeah. So I commute from downtown to the UMed district, and one of the guests mentioned that downtown, UMed, and Midtown are the three main hubs that you guys want to connect. And I was just wondering if Anchorage is maybe the right place for something like a commuter bus system like they have in Seattle, where these main hubs have buses that basically don't stop and just go from a hub downtown to a hub midtown, and then one from downtown to UMed. I was just wondering if you guys have ever experimented with anything like that.
And so it's a system of express buses that can connect hubs?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, Tom, this is Lance. We have, and when we look at the projections based on the development and the population, you know, our goal right now is to put more service on the routes that we have. And as that service matures, we predicted, you know, probably in about 20 years, we're going to have the amount of people and the amount of service where we could run that kind of direct express bus from downtown through Midtown to the UMed, and it may or may not stop at a UMed transit center. It's just, we just know that that little L shape through a community is very popular. It's going to continue to grow. And right now we have, you know, basically three bus routes that run on that L shape from UMed down Midtown to North Anchorage. So, we have thought about it. It's just not right
yet.
Isn't
that kind of how you build, you know, you get those people on the bus that you want, who are the discretionary riders, if you will, by having service that doesn't stop at every corner, right? They jump on and they go right where they want to go. Is that a chicken and the egg thing, that if you had that kind of service, maybe you'd get the riders?
Exactly right, Charles. And it's really a balance, because when you don't have the ability to provide a lot of service, you want to pick up as many places along the route as you can. Mm-hmm. You know, many of our routes during the morning and the afternoon, we run on half hour. Some of them run every hour, particularly on the weekend. So as Tom mentioned, we're not only looking at Midtown and other capital improvements, we're also doing everything we can to increase the headways to a point where, as Tom suggests, you don't have a direct express.
And that costs money. This is a comment from email that is kind of right on what we're talking about. This questioner says, is questioning sort of the system. Why do we need these transit centers? States, you know, a large portion of the city's bus routes run through a transit center. And the assumption is that the optimal model is a single transit center. Why focus on where to develop a single transit center rather than questioning the entire model and thinking about a system as exists in some cities where it's more dispersed?
So our system is dispersed. And the way, if you think about how our transit system operates and who uses it, literally our buses start on the outskirts of town and they all go to the center. They literally start in, you know, the Muldoon, the Diamond Center area. But in the early morning run, they're not starting at downtown. They're not necessarily starting at the residential areas, converging on the business areas. One of those is Midtown and the downtown. So and the way we have designed our system is that we basically have kind of a pulse just-in-time delivery. If you're on the Route 1 and you want to get to the Route 2, for example, and you have to make a transfer, we want to make sure that you arrive at a location where you're not waiting more than 5 or 10 minutes to get on your next transfer to go to the rest of your destination. And that's a very common method of running a transit service. So
it's really a matter of design and making connections. Yeah.
But I think that it also points to the challenge of serving Anchorage, period. I mean, I think the fact that we don't have just one central place, which is our primary business location, from a land use standpoint, and you know, the horse has been out of the barn there for a long time already. Mm-hmm. So I think we're not putting it all back in one place. The challenge to People Mover, the challenge to our transportation system generally, is how do we serve all of these places in an effective way and attract all of these, you know, some of these choice riders, which ultimately leads to those shorter headways. I mean, I put myself in that category. Last time I rode a bus was when I was working downtown. I could hop on a bus, it dropped me off a block in front of my office. Well, I work in Spinard now. I weigh my time of a transfer and sitting outside and hoping that bus comes. And I'm no different than anybody else, other than people that really have very little alternatives. Mm-hmm. So I look to Lance and say, boy, you got a tough job, in part because of how we've grown as a city.
Well, you're a planning expert and a housing expert, you know, with Cook Inlet Housing, and I wonder about, how do we fix this community plan lack of community plan? The city developed just through happenstance. The urban core had planning, but the outer area, which was not within the city until 1976, really had very little planning and just sort of developed in this haphazard fashion. And so we've got these different centers, and now we seem to be having kind of redevelopment in Midtown and more intensity. Do we need to be thinking about putting housing closer to where people work, or is there a way to redevelop or redesign this town that would make it work better in terms of transportation?
No, I think we do need to, first of all, acknowledge that there are a lot of people that live in and around Midtown, and redevelopment will continue to happen, and having people there and housing opportunities there is absolutely essential. I think you'll have, you know, Lance mentioned the demographic changes that we're going to see. You know, more and more people, not everyone, I mean, a lot of people, the great thing about Anchorage is you can live on the hillside, you can live in Chugiak, and you can commute into town and have all the services of town. That's the wonderful thing about Anchorage. But there are people that are looking for, you know, a more convenient, a more urban experience, something that has the amenities. You know, for example, we have in our Anchorage 2020 plan, this notion of transit supportive corridors. And I think we put those as, you know, areas that we'd like to see develop at 8 dwelling units per acre. Well, anyone that knows transit knows that that's really low for something that's really going to spur additional transit, where you really have that symbiotic effect between the housing and the transit. I think most communities would at least minimally double that, if not go up to, you know, 20 units an acre. So I think the point is, we have some good plans. We have to relook at them, and we have to also really focus on implementing the key parts that we really think are important. The opportunity to use the transit center as a public investment in a place to change a place is a good one, whether it's downtown or midtown. And I think the question is, you know, how does it really help spur the best type of development? And most importantly, I think from Lance's standpoint, is how does it facilitate transit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great topic. It's Hometown Alaska. My name is Charles Wolforth. That was Tyler Robinson, who's a member of the Anchorage Planning and Zoning Commission. Also with me is Lance Wilbur, Director of the Public Transportation Department, thinking about planning, thinking about where to put the transit center, if it should be moved. Talking about the Anchorage 2020 plan, that was a 20-year outlook. Good heavens, we're 15 years through it almost. So all the challenges of a very spread out city. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back. I know I've got a caller who wants to ask about bus service. Want to make sure we get into some of those general bus service questions in the second half, as well as continuing to talk about how best to manage transit in Anchorage and where to put the transit center. So stay with us. We'll be back in a minute for more of Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we're talking about transit today, transit and planning, the interaction of how our bus system works and where people live and where they work. Where should the transit center be located? Should we move it, as Public Transportation Director Lance Wilbur has suggested? Tyler Robinson of the Anchorage Planning and Zoning Commission is also with us today, and we welcome your calls and questions. The phone number here is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. If you're calling from outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And email is a great way to get on the air. I get those emails right here in the studio and read them on the air. hometown@alaskapublic.org is the email address. And now I'd like to go to Jack, who's been patiently waiting. He's calling from Anchorage. Jack?
Hey, Lance and Tyler, thanks for the discussion today. I think we can all agree on the low ridership and the headway, I think, is a term for that, that the buses don't run as often as they should. I've lived in big cities like Chicago, and you can catch a bus there every 5 minutes or so, but, you know, we're not there where Chicago is, of course. I wondered if you guys have, in that new center, if you've considered changing bus sizes. I've gone in some countries in my travels, and they use much smaller buses. They run more often. That might help the congestion in Midtown. Are you even considering that at all?
Hey, Jack, this is Lance. Thanks for the question. We used to have some small buses. We run 40-foot buses. We have a fleet of about 52 buses, and we used to have some 30, 35-footers, but, you know, the reality is they're not any cheaper to operate, and it's a different set of parts, a different inventory that we have to keep. So my approach is to standardize the fleet so that our inventory is pretty much the same, the equipment's the same. You know, the drivers cost what they cost, the fuel is what it is, and so there's really no benefit for a fleet our size to run smaller equipment.
Then I guess my follow-up question then would be, is then how is that new transit center with the same size of buses going to going to decrease those headway times?
Well, I think the relationship between the size of the vehicle and the headways is kind of separate. The issue with the headways is, it's a matter of how often you're going to hit the bus stop at a particular location. Are you going to be there every half an hour or every hour? And whether you're in a 30-foot bus or a 40-foot bus, there's really no difference because there's really no savings in the different size vehicles. So, we did look at it, but I think given where we are, keeping a standardized fleet is the best.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
I think I would respectfully disagree with you there. The buses that I'm talking about would carry maybe 20 people to 24 people. They're much, much smaller. They're much more fuel efficient. Just the cost overall. I mean, I think that's a kind of a long-term look at that bus size, having them full. I mean, I've just looked at two buses running in town. One of them had, I think, about three people on it, and the other one had maybe five or six people on it.
Right.
That is not, even if our ridership was tripled, that wouldn't be efficient for that bus size at all.
Right. Thanks, Jack. And we're going to move on, but I think Lance wants to have one more word on that.
Yeah, I think, Jack, when we do, we might have the average ridership on our buses is about 33 people every hour. So if you look on average, and some of these runs, we have the buses are standing room only.
Matter of fact, 45, right?
Yeah, really. We had to add more service on that. But a bus that might have five or six people on it for part of its trip, the end of its trip, it'll load up. And then when it leaves, it runs an entirely different route with the same piece of equipment. So we might have a route that doesn't have that much ridership, but it'll change and pick up another run with more people on it. So it's an excellent question, definitely an excellent question.
I wanted to get in. I think there's a public sort of assumption that a bus system runs like a business, that the fares that people pay are sort of paying for the cost of the system. But in fact, the most of the cost is being borne by the taxpayer, because what it costs to run that bus is far in excess of what you get in the fare, correct?
That's true, Charles.
And what are the labor is obviously a big cost.
Labor and fuel are literally the two largest costs. The way our budget is built, about 60% of it is supported by the taxpayers, about 25% of it is supported by the fares and the revenue, and the rest of it, we get a little bit of grant money here and there to pick it up. But, thanks to the taxpayers, we're able to keep the service we've got.
Well, right. And I think I just might add, just so that we are on equal footing, the same is true of our roads as
sure.
Well.
I mean, I don't pay any tolls.
Right. Users' fees and gas tax. I know we don't pay a whole lot up here, but I certainly don't go all the way to pay for that. For that transportation. I think that said, we build roads for different reasons. We build transit for different reasons. I think communities have used transit also to look at economic development opportunities. And I think we need to continue to do that. I think we're a long way from looking at streetcars and other fixed rail type LRT, light rail type facilities. But those types of facilities have a real economic development component. And I'm not sure that we also can't explore those even with a bus system as well.
Exactly. I agree.
So we've had a change in fares recently due to the Assembly addressing the budget. Tell us what's happening with the fares and how they compare to other cities.
Yeah. So beginning the first of the year, we've adjusted our fares slightly on all of our services, on our fixed route service, the anchor ride service we provide. So we really hadn't adjusted our fares for about 8 years, and the cost of our operations has gone up significantly in 8 years. Pretty minor. For example, the adult fare, which we would pay, went from $1.75 one-way trip to $2. The regular day pass, you can ride all day for $5. We didn't change that at all. We did have to make some adjustments to the senior trips. I mean, they were originally, I think, 50 cents one way, and it's gone to a dollar. It's a $2.50 to ride all day, and they can ride free on Wednesdays. We've been doing that for a very long time. So seniors, anyone over the age of 60, ride all day, every day, every Wednesday for nothing. But, we really had to make that adjustment. It wasn't about the purpose of adjusting the fares wasn't a revenue-driven perspective. It was an equity. When you look at who's riding the service and who's paying for the service, we were trying to provide a little bit of equity from our senior riders. I mean, frankly, our youth were the ones that were what they put in is what they get out. 10% of our ridership, 10% of our revenue. The adults were 80% or 65% of our ridership. They were over 85% of our revenues. They were really carrying the bulk of it. And the seniors were 10% or 20% of our riders and 10% of our revenue. So mm-hmm. we were just trying to, you know, trying to bring that equity in. And we had a lot of hard conversations. We had a lot of hard conversations with the senior community, the ADA. Those are not easy decisions. They're not, but they weren't without a lot of careful thought.
Have you seen any impact in ridership due to the increase?
No. I mean, really, when they went into effect, we had a couple people that didn't know. I think it was a good move.
And you mentioned anchor rides. For those who don't know what anchor rides is, why don't you just explain that?
Sure. So at the People Mover, at public transportation, we're responsible for not only the fixed route service, but we also require and offer a complimentary paratransit or anchor ride service, and it's for people with disabilities or ADA or may don't have the ability for whatever reason to use the fixed route service. We provide this anchor ride service, and we provide it within 3/4 of a mile of our fixed routes. And so if we don't run on the hillside, you know, we do provide the service on the hillside, but we provide it at a premium. So mm-hmm. A great service. We run it through a contractor. We've been very happy with them. We manage it in here in-house. So I think it's a great service as well.
All right. Hometown Alaska, I'm Charles Wolforth. Lance Welber is the director of the Public Transportation Department. Tyler Robinson is here as well. He's a member of the Anchorage Planning and Zoning Commission. We're talking about the People Mover system, transit in Anchorage, how it interacts with the way our community is built and planned, and whether we should move the transit center. And now I'd like to go to Caroline, who's calling from Anchorage. Caroline?
Yes, good afternoon. First of all, I'm sure you folks have a full-court press plan for your publicity and beyond this wonderful program that Mr. Wolforth presents. My question has to do with whether or not you think you could make use of the bus sides and back whenever they're not being sold for other purposes. I'm thinking of a big sign that would say, thank you, taxpayers. Bus transit equals more jobs, more people for available jobs, or something of that nature that takes it down to the dollar figure and the benefit that the taxpayers are making toward this effort. I think that any of these things that you can do would be great, because people don't know the number of letters to the editor over the years about empty buses has been a constant complaint. So letting people know the benefits in a direct PR campaign, I think, is just the thing that will certainly cut down the complaints of against the bus system. And the Midtown is a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Caroline. And it sort of raises an issue. How do we get people more aware of the system and more aware of its benefits, and that it may, I think some people may have some misperceptions about it. I want to get both of you gentlemen to answer that, but I didn't give out the phone number there, and I meant to. For those who want to get on the air to talk about the People Mover system and the transit center location, if you're in Anchorage, it's 550-8433, and the email is hometownalaskapublic.org. Lance Welber, what are you doing to change the perception of the bus service and build public support?
You know, a couple facets. First of all, I think Caroline's got us right on the idea there, and we'll talk to our marketing people about the signs. You know, we carry 4 million people a year. That's 10 times more people than the railroad carries. Hmm. I mean, we carry a lot of people. We carry about 14,000 people a day to work, shopping. I mean, a lot of different places. So I think the perception is, you know, could be improved. And I think it's a matter of the quality of the facilities we have, the customer service we provide, the efficiency of the system, being on time. I mean, telling people that you're good and you provide a quality service doesn't do anything. Showing them does, and proving it. And that's where I really, you know, try to focus on making sure that we're safe, we're on time, we provide great customer service. You know, I have a huge amount of respect for our drivers. They just do a great job for us, and I think, you know, many of our passengers appreciate that. As far as the benefits to the community, I've talked to mall owners, retail, you know, large, and 20% of the people that work in those places are getting there by public transportation. Many people that are shopping there get there by public transportation. And, you know, maybe not every day. Maybe they switch, as Tyler mentioned. You know, the way our development pattern is, a lot of it's auto-oriented, and that's okay. And you know, we're not trying to tell people to put away their cars and start riding the bus. That's not the point. The point is, you know, make it a viable option. Make it a viable option in the event that your car's breaking down and you need to take the bus to get to work and you've got to go to a doctor's appointment, no problem. You want to put your kids on the bus to go to the library? you should feel confident that it's okay to do that. Those are the things that we're working on. I mean, just improve that quality of, and you only do that by doing it, not by telling people you're going to do it.
Right. You can't convince people you have to, that you give good customer service. You actually have to give it. Tyler?
Well, and we build housing where, you know, we like to think it's really good examples of infill housing or, you know, medium density housing in this community. And I get comments all the time where people say, well, I could never imagine living there. I moved to Alaska because I want to live, you know, I want elbow room, I want this, I want that. And I guess, you know, I transfer that to people mover. That's not the point. Even if you don't believe that you are going to be a primary user, there are other people in this community that both depend on it. And not only that, those three people that you're sitting next to on Benson waiting across the Seward Highway in the afternoon, if you could get them off the road and onto a bus, wouldn't you be better off? I mean, there's reasons for wanting this that's not solely self-serving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a privately owned bus that's coming in from the Valley, pretty full, as I understand it, every day, and a really strong vanpool program. So people, Alaskans, will ride the bus if they feel comfortable, if they feel safe, if they feel it's sufficient. And I guess it's a challenge with limited resources to make that happen. And now I'd like to go to Joe, who's calling from Anchorage. Joe?
Yes, I'm on the phone here.
You are. Please go ahead with your question.
Well, I'm concerned about intermodal transportation. I'd like to take the bus to go catch an airplane. For example, tonight I'm leaving the airport at midnight. But, of course, bus service stops way before midnight to go to the airport. And a lot of people, especially people who don't have a lot of money, travel on the red eyes, and those would be your bus customers. And it would be nice if we had a way to go from bus to airplane, or for that matter, for the train. There is no bus service down by the train station, and the other intermodal operation that would be where you could park your car and get on a bus. Maybe if you were in Eagle River, you could park your car and then ride the bus into Anchorage. And I'll hang up now and listen to your response on the air. Thank you.
Great question, Joe. And this is a really big one about how can we use the train to bring people in from the Valley? And if we do, how do we get them around town? The airport is another big one. That's a big employment center that we didn't talk about. Lance, I'd like to hear both of you respond to
that. Yeah, I think Joe's got a great comment there. You know, our ability to provide late-hour service to the airport. We have currently one run that goes to the airport. We get most of our ridership in the summertime. But we get a lot of people. Myself, I take red eyes, you know. Mm-hmm. And our ability to provide transit service out there, certainly, I mean, I'd like to be able to do more. There's places in South Anchorage, maybe even on the hillside, where we don't have service that we'd like to be looking into. But we also have to marshal the resources that we have. I mean, when we have three or four people or five or six or maybe 10 that want to, you know, get out to the airport on that red eye flight, but yet we have, 45, 50, 60 people trying to leave 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or, you know, downtown or get to the Wyndham. So we constantly evaluate our system. We make adjustments every single year. And as I mentioned early in the program, looking at kind of a survey of where people are coming from and going to and the amount of mm-hmm. service, we listen to those things. We make adjustments where we can with the resources we have. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's an excellent comment.
Tyler, do you want to address this intermodal issue with the commuters coming from the Valley and all that?
No, well, I guess I don't understand the transit component of that piece, you know, how it really functions. I mean, as an observation, and I think the thing that I hear is, and you said it, Charles, what happens once you get there? Wherever that there is it Ship Creek? Is it downtown? Is it midtown? Then getting someone out to their place of work or where they're visiting is a challenge. I'm with the caller. I'd love to be able to, I've been in airports where you step right off and you step right on a light rail train, literally as soon as you pick up your bag. I mean, that's wonderful. And I find it really, it's a fun community to live in because I think a lot of us live here because it's sort of the right size city. It's sort of this small city. It's got a lot of amenities, but it's not too big. At the same time, some of the things we're talking about, you really need numbers for them to work. And so we're sort of caught, you know, it's kind of our growing pains.
Yeah, we kind of developed a little bit too spread out. I guess we needed those mountains to be a little bit closer to get the density, huh? Mary's calling from Fairview. Mary?
Yes, sir. I used to ride the bus, but I gave it up because I had to leave home at 7:10 in the morning to get to work at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, so it just took too long.
From Fairview to Arctic and 40th.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the long wait between buses. that got me.
How long ago did you give up on it?
Oh, gosh, about 10, 12 years ago.
I see.
I bought a car. I had to buy a car even. I had given up on a car because I grew up in Los Angeles back when it was all on rails.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real good, but then Los Angeles did the same thing. They started doing buses, which get caught in traffic unlike the trains, and it just took too long to get any place.
Yeah. Well, I suggest you give it another try. I understand it does take time, especially if you if your destinations don't match up with the system, but maybe it's worth another try for just see how it works now.
Hey, Mary, let's keep your car,
well,
but give us a shot
I'm
again.
I'm retired now. I don't have to worry about the bus.
Well, then maybe you can go on Wednesday, then.
I can take the bus to the market because it's only a five-minute trip, and I don't have to look for a parking place or anything. I hop on the bus, go to the market, buy my stuff, hop on the bus, and come home.
All right.
And I'm across the street in two different directions, one to go out of town and one to go into downtown.
All right. Thanks for calling, Mary. We've got a lot of callers. So we're going to keep moving on. And now I'd like to go to Will, calling from the Midtown area. Will?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead with your question.
Actually, it was I wanted to talk about the previous comment, the caller comment about the short bus.
Using the small buses? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the smaller buses. And first of all, I want to say it's great that you're having this discussion because it is it's an issue as far as trying to get to one place in a good time frame. Now, what I wanted to speak on was actually the gentleman that you have there made the gentleman's point helped make the gentleman's point by saying that the drive some bus routes have less people than would be affordable, but however on a return route the ridership pick up, so but he goes a different route to drop them off. So I'm thinking, like the gentleman said before, we do have anchor buses, and they're smaller than the big buses. And you can get compatible small bus sizes so that the maintenance would be the same as the anchor buses. And with the small ridership on that different route, you use those size vans. And that way, the gentleman who's going on the other route to pick up the big ridership, the large ridership, you use the gas guzzlers there. I mean, if we're going to move forward in our energy saving or trying to cut back on fuel, then we can, summertime, you know, they have electric vans you can use for the 2-3 people that is on a small, you know, we can think past numbers.
Okay, good. Thanks for the comment. I think you addressed using the small buses. Do you have different? Do you have a way of looking at efficiency, saving money? I think you gave your opinion on this one, but no.
Yeah, I mean, we do, and we've looked at the manufacturer that we currently have because, as I mentioned, there's a benefit to standardizing the fleet. And I think you know Will's comment about you know, would a smaller size vehicle be more efficient and dedicated to one run? The way in order for us to get as much service on the street in a day, we don't dedicate one vehicle to one route. They're interlined. So, and that's how you go literally minute by minute service. So, and the other side of it is I want to keep the inventory simple. When a bus comes in and needs an oil change, it's the same filter on every single bus. It's not a, you know, and we've looked at the manufacturer. The engines are the engines. Mm-hmm. You don't get better mileage when they're in a smaller vehicle. The driver still costs what the driver costs. The ability to navigate traffic, you know, the way the streets are designed, they can haul big trucks, they can haul big buses.
Yeah, let's get a couple more callers here so we can get everybody in the air before we're done. Bob is calling from Anchorage. Bob?
Yeah, hi, everyone. Great program. I just wanted to interject that I've been here about over 30 years now, and my sense is that the bus has actually probably been starved for budget most of that time. I don't think that's the place to be cutting because you really can't get ridership up if you're only going to run once an hour. And the other flip side of the coin to put some of this back onto the municipal government is you have to plow the snow and you have to plow the streets so that when those pedestrians get off that bus, they're not wading through drifts or falling into
streets, you know, because there's an unplowed 2-foot-wide sidewalk that's adjacent to a 45-mile-an-hour roadway. I mean, we have to look at this completely as a pedestrian activity and really support it across the board so people don't see this as a dangerous choice or something that they have to give up all their precious time. I mean, the folks who make the least money here don't have that time in their life if they're working two jobs to wait an hour for a bus. And we as a community where people, there are plenty of people who are better off, I think we can, you know, increase our property taxes slightly and help pay for that so that we can, you know, be the kind of society we want to be.
Hasn't the budget for the system been going down in the last 4 or 5 years?
No.
No?
No, actually, you know, our operating budget's been increasing maybe a percent or two every year. I think the entire, you know, many departments have been that way. You know, and I think, I don't look to the taxpayers to solely keep us alive and expand our service. I mean, I think efficiencies, other revenue sources, it's not a one-carat solution. And so, and in the budget situation, whether it's a tax issue, if you're going to maintain the same budget, and if we get more money, someone else is not going to get it, whether it's parks or the fire department or planning or whatever it's going to be, you know, there's only so much to go around. And so, you know, we're doing the best we can, and I think we're doing great with what we've got.
All right. Well, thanks, Bob. We've got a lot more callers we're going to get to, so I'd like to go now to Gail from Anchorage. Gail, thanks for waiting for so long.
Yes, I have an idea that may be way out of the box. But I know there's a situation with the UMed district and where they're going to be planning on taking all the land, different parts of the land and homes and everything to make new roads to the area. But if you had a hub like in Midtown or downtown and perhaps had like a SkyTram, or I don't know if that's a word for it, but there's something in Seattle similar to that that could go from the hub directly to that area, and you could, it would not take up all the footprint that these roads and things are going to take. And it would, you know, it'd be a great thing, and perhaps have another area where someone could ride their bicycle all year round from the hub to the UMed district. And I know it sounds far-fetched, but it just seems like, I know they're spending millions and millions on these roads, and maybe they could do something like this, and tourists could come and ride in it, and you could get funding from lots of areas if you had trails in it also. But
well, thanks for the question.
You know, yeah, have a hub and go.
Let me give that one to Tyler. Tyler Robinson, are we anywhere close to the density and number of people in these different areas that we could have some kind of dedicated, whether it be a SkyTram or a light rail or something like that?
You know, I don't think we are. And I mean, that said, there's the general tenet that says, you know, when you look at roads, you can't build your way totally out of congestion either. And so if you purely think that you're going to get out of there by building wider and wider roads, which frankly we don't want through our neighborhoods anyway, then you do have to look at some of these alternatives. I'm not sure I'm going where Gail is quite yet, but I think we need to get creative and we need to understand where those areas that I think can benefit the system and the system can benefit those areas the most, and we need to make those the priorities.
Great. Well, thank you. You know, we have a number of callers who wanted to get on with this and a number of emails they didn't get to read. Just shows this is a really important issue that a lot of people care about. So I thank you, all of you, for contributing. And special thanks to Lance Wilbur, Director of the Public Transportation Department, who was with us today, and Tyler Robinson, a member of the Anchorage Planning and Zoning Commission. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Charles.
Thank you.
So next week on Hometown Alaska, Kathleen McCoy will be your host. She'll be leading a discussion on how arts get funded and survives in Anchorage. Pat Yak is the Chief Content Officer for Alaska Public Media. Kristen Platt is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.